Greetings, precious saints. Love you with all my heart. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your many prayers. Just bear with me tonight. Because we adore our young people. Thanks, Pastor. We adore our young people so much. I'm going to ask Isabel to come up and open this meeting to pray.
If you'll bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you all for allowing us to be here tonight, and thank you that we're going to be able to hear this sweet message. And we ask you to bless it and the speaker, Sister Keys, tonight, and help us to receive what you have in store. We ask, with camp coming up, that you'll help us to be able to keep our eyes on you, and that we won't be able to be distracted with some of the things that might come up if you tarry that long. We ask that we'd be able to be a testimony to you, not only in church, but also in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Precious saints, tonight we're going to talk about one of the most precious fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, and you know already as we go there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. But the wonderful fruit that we want to really share tonight is love. 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 John 3:16 is one of the most wonderful examples of the love of God. And we can all quote it, and hopefully we can quote it as we grow in grace and knowledge with such a wonderful blessing to realize what this really means and how wonderful it is that we can always point this to anyone, child, adult, anyone. It's so simple. God so loved the world that he gave. And we want to talk tonight about love gives. Love will always give. Love is continuing to give. He gave us so much, saints, and I don't want to get ahead of the message, but he gave us eternal life. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And then he gave us all the wonderful gifts to the body of Christ. And he gave, and he gave, and he continues to give. And we know that the love that we're talking about here in Galatians is sacrificial, the love of God, unconditional. God gave up his only son, divine love. He is the source of all that surpasses faith, and that's love and hope, the most wonderful gifts again, because it is the heart. Love is the heart of God. There's no other way to describe this love that he's given us. It's the heart of God. And this is why he said in 1 Timothy 2:4, and we can turn there. But in 1 Timothy 2:4, and we all can quote this wonderful scripture, but he said there that he would have all men to be 2 Timothy. All men. I'm sorry. I feel like Justin now when he was apologizing last week. But anyway, we can quote that scripture. For he who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's God's plan. That's what he wants us to understand. And also in Revelation 3:9, which we know this is the Philadelphia church, and in Revelation 3:9, here. He's talking to us, to the church. He said, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I kind of love you. Thinking about little bit of love? No. Profoundly, that I have loved you. This is to us saints. This is to us that are getting ready to attend, not just attend a wedding, but be the bride. That he had loved us. And you know, I think now as he admonishes us that love one another. This has always been something. Why? That they will know that ye are my disciples indeed. Not just again, maybe. It's always just that way. That we will know. We will have this knowledge. And they will know us. They know us by our what? Fruit? Yes. And that fruit that we're picking up tonight is love. And then, like he gave. He gave us the Holy Spirit, precious saints, so that he's the one that sheds the love abroad. And that's just overflowing. You know, I grew up in a southern, small southern Missouri town. I'll say that quietly. But I love my upbringing. And I tell you, from the very beginning as a child, God placed me in a family that was so full of love. And they were Baptists, but somehow they loved. I don't really know if any of them were filled with the Spirit. And they could have had more, but they just demonstrated. I mean, they hugged on us and loved on us so much, our friends were afraid to come home with us because they had to line up and get hugged. And I thought, especially my grandpa, he hugged you and he prayed over you. So most of my friends said, I'll meet you in the corner. But I thank God for that because it resonated in my heart at a young age. And I was just so naive coming from that small country town. I thought the whole world loved like that. And when I left Missouri, I was in a state of shock. But this is the love. But the love we're talking about is so embedded, so much deeper in our hearts than even the human love, as far as you know. But that helped me a lot. But here again, we're making reference to 1 Corinthians 13. God's love message to us is the way of love. The way, the more excellent way. A more perfect way. What is that more excellent way? What is that more perfect way? The way of love. That's the way that God intended for us to become like him, full of love. Full of love to the point that, and I think someone mentioned it, and it was sweet. Scott's class was so precious, but some of the things he said, but one thing I'm trying to think of, is, you know, sometime, and we've all experienced this, we'll get ready to say something, especially if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe sarcastic. I guess nobody says anything sarcastic, but every now and then I would think of it. And you know, the Holy Spirit would say, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't tell them that. And it's like, okay, but I sure wanted to. But that's what's so wonderful about the Holy Spirit. He will stop you dead. And when you open your mouth to say something unkind, it's like, no, don't think about what you're saying. Don't say that to them. Say, and it's worked. Thank God, because when he reminds us, the love takes over. And it's like, you want to be encouraging. You want to go ahead and pray about this and let him settle it in your heart. Love is powerful. Love is powerful. And again, God's love appeals to the very heart. And this is what we want to talk about tonight, the heart. It appeals to the heart so deeply. It is the only, only thing that will appeal to the heart in the depths and in God's love. The heart. Every flower, every gift, every card that's ever been sent to depict love has a heart. And I don't want to talk about me, but I remember in school one time, just going into my junior year, I wanted to give a heart. And I must have worked on that heart for a week. Never did turn out the way it should with those things going the right way. And I just got so discouraged. But I wanted that heart to depict love. And that's what love is. I mean, love, that's what it's supposed to say. I love you. I love you. And so you think about the very heart of man. Your heart, my heart, precious saints in our hearts. Romans 5:5, again, the love of God is shed abroad, flooding over with the love that the Holy Spirit, and again, the most precious love, the grace of God has prepared our hearts for this kind of love. It's only the grace of God that can make our hearts a receptacle like that. David, God said, was a man after his own heart. Again, the heart. And it's just most precious to me when you think about that. And I believe that we don't have time to study David's life, but David had that full assurance of God's love. There was not a doubt in David's heart, even when he blundered, even when he made a mistake. I think you'd have had a fight with David if you tried to tell him that God didn't love him. I really think you would. He was so convinced. Are we that convinced tonight? Are you convinced tonight if you make a mistake? Are you convinced tonight you blunder? Are you convinced tonight that nobody can tell you that God doesn't love you? You should be. You should be that convinced and that persuaded and that sure that no matter what, I know I have. David said, if his father and mother cast him out, he knew that God still loved him. This is the kind of love that God wants us to have, saints. Nothing less, full assurance of his love. And that's one precious truth that you can go up to people. Do you know how many people you can just walk up to and say, God loves you? And they'll say, what? It's like, is it worth it? God loves you. Well, okay. No, he loves you. You don't know the effect of just knowing that somebody loves me. It's like the story Brother Hill told years ago. He said there was a man, and he was, I guess, an alcoholic. And he was in this town, small town. And people would just, they would try to tell him, with course, not grace, the law, judge him. You need to stop drinking. You need this and that. And the man knew that he couldn't do anything to help himself. He was helpless. And then one day, as this family came into town, in a small town, but they came into town, they're in buckboard and wagon. This man was on this street of this little town. And this little girl in this wagon, she said, hey, mister. And they told him, put on your Sunday best, come to church, and more or less, the message was, we might love you. Well, that wasn't any help to the man. But the sweet thing is that little girl said, mister, Jesus loves you. He said, what did you say? He staggered. He said, what did you say? She said, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. He was in church next Sunday with a suit on that they were trying to put on him. He knew. He heard that little girl's. That little girl, God used to convince him. And that was a change in his life. Somebody loves me just like I am. Somebody loves me with all my failures, with all my misgivings, with all my thoughts that I shouldn't have. Somebody still loves me. Love is powerful. Love is powerful. It's there. It'll change the hardest heart. It will change the most repentant, which it did, the thief on the cross. Love is powerful. In fact, I was thinking, because God has always thought I'm very, very heart of a romantic. But I said, you want me to get up and talk about love? It's like, it's going to be you. It's going to be him anyway. But it's like, it's my favorite subject is love. It's like, okay, Lord, praise the Lord. Anyway, the Lord, he's so faithful. And I had to smile. But again, love is spoken of 23 times in the Song of Solomon. 23. That's a lot. That's a lot. The Bible itself, Ty would know. There's 130 references to the heart. The heart. David had said so much about the heart. Remember, the heart is the one fruit that is such a reservoir for the love of God. The heart, it's deposited in. That's why the Holy Spirit was given, shed abroad in our minds. Is that what it says? In our what? Our hearts. That's why the Holy Spirit had to be shed abroad in our hearts, because that's where it would manifest itself the most. And I don't know, you'd have to be an awfully cold person that God can even warm up. For somebody to tell you they love you constantly and you not responding to that, I think it would break down the most. That's how powerful love is. That's how wonderful the heart can be receptive to the love of God. So this is such a wonderful truth. So as we think about the new man and God's unconditional love is precious, because he has to. Love is so intense. Love longs. It longs. Longing is there. If you love someone, you long for them. You can long for someone to like the Shulamite. You can be lovesick. You can long for someone so much till you're beside yourself. That's how love is. And the only thing you can do sometime, if it's not the love that God has given you, it'll even put you on your knees in desperation. Take these feelings, because I'm not getting in response. So deliver me. That's how deep and intense love can be. So again, when the Lord, and we'll go to the 21st chapter of John. Here we're going to look at the heart of Peter. Peter, how many times? Three. Lovest thou me more than these? He said. Let's read that here. Starting somewhat in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lamb. You know why he appealed to the heart of Peter, saint? In order to feed, you've got to have a heart of love. Any pastor or minister has to have a heart of love to feed the sheep in the depth of the grace of God or any other, but especially the bridal truth. You've got to have, again, because he knew one day that Peter would bring forth that first message. Peter blundered after that, but I think Peter was established, and God heard him say three times. And every time he says, lovest thou me, the next thing out of Jesus' mouth was feed. Feed. If you love me, you're going to feed. And that's exactly, we're so blessed to have a shepherd that has that kind of love to feed us. That's love. And it's absolutely necessary. And I was thinking of that when I read this. I thought, no wonder he kept saying feed. Love. Will feed. Love will feed. So he appeals to the heart of Peter. And Peter responded, "You know." We don't have time to go into Peter's ministry there. We know it was, but it's precious. So you think about your heart. What about our hearts? Is our hearts more and more tender as we grow in grace and knowledge and love toward our Lord and Savior and the saints and those that are not, but we don't know, neighbors, you just name. When he gives you this kind of love and the response the heart has, you're able to go out. You're able to talk to people. The boldness of the Holy Spirit will enable you, because you've got a simple message, but the message is so powerful. Love. He loves you. He loves you. It can be told to the youngest child, to the oldest adult. You can meet somebody who can barely walk. Jesus loves you. God loves you. And I don't think anyone, have you ever heard anyone say, "Quit telling me you love me"? I don't think so. I don't think you will. Because all of us want that. We want that kind of love. If it's just a reminder, that's what we need. That's what we want. Just a reminder. David said in 116 Psalm, let's turn there if you want to. And we know the scripture. He says in 116:12, "What shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I render?" And then it's so sweet because he knows that there's nothing he can do or give to God. So again, he says, he will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You know what that cup is? Jesus' cup of love. More of Christ. More love. That's what David, that's the reference he made. I'll just take more love. I'll just take more of that cup of love. And that's what we need. We need more of that. It's there for us. We need to open up and not be afraid. I heard a minister say one time, I don't want that kind of love. And it was very strange. But it's like, then I'll have to respond to that kind of love. Well, he needed to be set free. We know that. But it's like, you don't have to be ashamed of being loved like that. God's not looking at you. He's looking at his son in you. That's who he's looking at. He's not looking at the flesh. He's looking at the spirit. So you don't have to be ashamed of being loved. No, you don't feel worthy. No, you never will. If you're waiting to feel worthy of his love, it doesn't happen that way. He loves you. That's why someone years ago penned the song, "Just as I am, just as I am." He loves us. He loves, I could shout it off the rooftop. And it wouldn't matter. And somebody walking by, "What did you say?" He loves you. That's the love that we're talking about. And we pray our hearts are ravaged. Ravaged. Like the Shulamite. Let's turn over to Song of Solomon 5:8. If you want to go there. But it's so wonderful. When we think about this kind of love. Sorry. 5:8. Okay. I don't think any other book in the Bible brings out the love like this book. "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, you tell him that I'm lovesick." Don't raise your hands. Have anybody in here ever been lovesick? That's the sickness. There's no medicine. You can go to the doctor. You're not going to get over that anyway soon. Praise the Lord. I love it. I'm lovesick. Oh, my God. It's wonderful in Christ to be lovesick. Amen. It is precious to be lovesick. You're just out of your mind. You're just crazy in love with Jesus. Crazy in love with Jesus. You can't help it. You can't help it. So this is what she was saying. And then in the 8th chapter of the Song of Solomon, I think it's 8. 7. Many waters, 8:7, cannot quench love. Neither can the floods. Drowned it. Now listen at this. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contempt. He would be scorned. The man would be scorned if he gave up that for love. Love has no price that you can give anything for love. God paid the price. Jesus died. So there is nothing you can exchange for love. Nothing's going to ever satisfy. That's another thing, saints. Do you know that nothing will ever satisfy your heart like the love of God? Amen. Nothing. No matter what you, no matter what you try, no matter what you do, it comes back to, and you begin to tell yourself through the power of the Holy Spirit, I know you love me. You talk back to him. I know you love me. Because why? Because he said so. The Bible tells us because he died on that cross. There's no doubt. We could stay here for days talking about love and still just barely touch the surface. That's how wonderful love is. Penny's smiling. Sitting pretty close there. But anyway, it's so sweet. It's so sweet. In 1 Corinthians 13, love is maturing in our hearts by the grace of God. We are maturing in love. The way of love, again, in 1 Corinthians 13, is the perfect way, the better way. Because now abideth how many things? Faith, hope, love, and the greatest of these is love. Paul put emphasis on love is the better way. Love is a more perfect way in that chapter. That's what he was talking about. And then grace teaching us, walking in love in Paul's epistle, speaking the truth in love, being rooted and grounded in love. We, saints, are experiencing the depths, the height, the width, the length of this bridal love. The high calling of God has put us on a race course. We know the time of our departure is nearing. We know that. Love gave us a gift. Jesus gave us a wonderful apostle with a heart full of love, the Apostle Paul. And the love consumed him so and overflooded his heart. Being filled. He said the love of Christ constrained him. It arrested Paul. It arrested him. He was just completely given his heart. His heart was captivated by the love of Christ. Again, isn't this what we want? And this is what we desire tonight? This kind of love? This kind of love that will not let me go? This kind of love that loves on? Love never stops loving. It loves on and on and on. And you can't leave here tonight and not know that you're not loved. You just can't. Because it's written. And he demonstrated. In Acts 20:32, Paul was there. In 3 years, he had exhorted them. Through many tears. He had a shepherd's heart. And he told them, and what he exhorted them was the whole purpose, plan, and counsel of God. That's what his heart was there with him. And he wanted to show them a better way. And that's in the perfect love of God. And he said, finally, as they fell on his neck and kissed him, expressions of love. This is what he left him. He said, I commend you to God and the grace. That's what he commended them to. That will build you up and give you an inheritance among all those also that are sanctified. But love, he left them with a lot of love. He left them knowing his heart. His heart. They saw the heart. When Mary appeared at that tomb to see our risen Lord, she was so determined to find him. It's like he just couldn't disappear like that. Her heart was so ravished. He had to come out there and see Mary. He had to. I think she'd have walked around there for days. Is that the way we are? Are we pursuing him like that? He had to appeal to her heart. It's like Mary. And I love how a pastor said one time, she recognized his voice, but not only that, love. No one could speak her voice in love like that. No one. So she was. That's the kind of love that he's wanting us to have. That determination, not within ourselves, but to let it flow out, to let the Holy Spirit. That's the love. Oh, my God. It's just, he responded to Mary's heart. You think he's responding to your heart tonight? Yes. He definitely is responding to your heart tonight. Yes. She would not take no for an answer. That's the kind of heart of, you know what? Isn't that called pursuing, Debbie? Pursuing. She pursued him in that garden. Love. Love just wouldn't let her go. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. As we close this evening, all you can think about, saints, is on this course. Again, the time of our departure is at hand. The fight, the course that Paul talked about, the fate. You know, he's waiting with the crown of righteousness. God, love gives. Love gives. And as he's going to give us a crown of righteousness, the judge, the righteous judge, we think about the unspeakable gift that Paul bought to us many, many times and reminded us. That unspeakable gift is the love. It was Christ, the gift of God's love. The gift of God is eternal life. You heard that word gift? How many times? God gives, he gives. Love gives. Love gives. So many times. In Ephesians 3:7, the gift of grace, there's a gift again. The gift of eternal life. So again, the spiritual gifts to the body of Christ. James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. The crown of righteousness is a glorious gift. All those who like his appearing, is that what it says? Love him. Love his appearing. Love his appearing. We're not liking his appearing tonight, saints. We're loving his appearing. How many times do you meet a loved one and say, you know, I was just liking for you to appear. I didn't know if you'd show up or not. Someone you love. If you want to see some excitement, wait at a gate when a plane comes in. Sometimes I'm so glad to be home, but I'd just like to go sit and see people's expression. People are just so excited. They're just coming from whole loving as people come off that plane. Well, guess what? We're not home yet. You know who's longing for you tonight? Don't tell me it's your mother or your father or your neighbors. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear that. Do you know who's longing for you tonight? Do you know who wants you tonight? And you stop and say, because you long for me like this? Yes. Do you know that whose heart is just aching for you tonight? Can't do without you much longer. Hallelujah! Can't do without you much longer. It's the Lord. He's longing. I don't know about you. I didn't know he could long for me. It's like you long for me. You love me that much. It's like, my goodness, that's because he sees you as a bride. Oh, you're talking about love. Love longs. It does. Praise the Lord. He's wooing you tonight, saints. He's wooing you. He's wooing you. And I'm convinced when Eliezer went to get a bride for Isaac, he appealed to Rebecca's heart. It's like there's someone that wants to love you. Did you know there's someone waiting to love you? I don't believe he just said somebody's waiting. There's a heart waiting to just love you. And she said, let's go. See, love will do that. Somebody love me? Let's go. I think he appealed to her heart and made her so excited. And Isaac's heart. But again, as we close tonight, one of my favorite stories is one of my best friends. Her and her fiancé were sitting in a restaurant, and he was just expressing all of his love and how he felt to her. And she was just listening so contently. And finally, she said, well, Bob, if you love me that much, just stand up in this restaurant and tell everybody you love me. And she dropped something, and she reached over to retrieve it. And when she raised up, he was just about raised out of his seat. She said, no, I was just kidding. He was getting ready to tell that whole restaurant how much he loved her. Seriously. You're talking about smitten with love. Oh, love will make you crazy. But crazy in love. Crazy in love. It's just wonderful. Wonderful. You think he's a lover, like we've been said, like it's been told. It's like a marathon race. All you can think of is the prize, which is Christ. And to look in his dear face, all sorrows will be erased. So bravely do what? Run this race that we can win Christ. He's waiting at the finish line, David, with arms wide open. He's waiting. And what does he say to the Shulamite? Rise up? Or is that all he says? My what? My fair one. Smitten. God's heart is smitten. Oh, God. Oh, God, all I can say is just realize how much he loves you tonight. If you realize a little bit more that he loves you tonight, you're going to have the best sleep you ever had. Let's stand.